Does money influence politics? It is a question this morning. I'm David Brancaccio. First, there was a moment about 2:40 Eastern time overnight when the S&P future was down 3%. This was right after President Trump said he wanted to take legal action to stop counting votes. But there's been recovery in stock prices, with the S&P 500 up 1.4% right now, the Dow up 260 points, 1%, and the NASDAQ up sharply, 2.25% in early trading here, in part a bet that if Republicans keep control of the Senate, there might be less antitrust pressure on tech companies. For more on blue versus red, House, Senate, and presidency, let's consult David Kelly, Chief Global Strategist at JP Morgan Funds. Thank you for joining us on this busy morning.
Good morning.
Can we say if we're headed toward divided government, executive branch, legislative branch?
I think it's a little bit early to say. It does look like the Democrats are going to take the House, but the Senate is looking like it might well stay in Republican hands.
So maybe not undivided government, but if it is, that'll seem familiar, but it has profound implications for policy, starting with domestic policy.
Well, yes, absolutely. And I guess the first thing is, how do you deal with the coronavirus and how do you stimulate the economy or support the economy? If it does turn out to be President Biden, obviously he would have a somewhat different approach and has had a different approach throughout the campaign. But then also, if you have divided government, very often what happens is the party that runs Congress tries to impede the agenda of the party that runs the executive. You know, in 2008, of course, Barack Obama won and there was a fair amount of fiscal stimulus then. But once he lost the House in the 2010 elections, then a lot of fiscal stimulus really petered out because the Republicans wanted to put a halt to a lot of spending plans or deficits. And you could see that sort of situation again. So I think you see much less stimulus under divided government than you would have seen under a red wave, or particularly under a blue wave.
If that's what we get, we still have to see, right?
Absolutely. A lot of counting to do yet.
David Kelly at JP Morgan Funds, thank you so much.
Anytime.
Some analysts had been predicting a Democratic sweep last night, partly due to the fact that Democrats outraised and outspent the GOP in an election that broke just about every record you can think of. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams joins us from Washington. According to the Center for Responsive Politics, Kimberly, Democrats spent close to $7 billion on federal races compared to about $4 billion for the GOP. How did that money play out in these campaigns?
Well, David, if you watch TV at all, or YouTube videos, or browse the internet, you probably saw more campaign ads than ever, especially if you were in a swing state. But in terms of Democrat versus Republican spending, I think what we're seeing is that the extra money the Democrats had allowed them to compete in more places than they might have otherwise, and forced the GOP to defend in places they hadn't planned to.
Like, for example, South Carolina.
Right, a reliable red state, which stayed red, but Democratic candidate Jamie Harrison handily outraised incumbent Lindsey Graham. Harrison raised more than $100 million compared to Graham's more than $70 million. Harrison lost, but definitely made the race more competitive than people expected.
And that kind of money has consequences for voter turnout as well. At least 100 million Americans voted even before the official election day.
Right. Both parties invested heavily in boosting voter turnout. The Democrats probably spent more money on it and started earlier, but both sides knew this was going to be a turnout race. Now, they spent that money differently. Democrats really leaned into mail-in and early voting, getting new voters registered who traditionally don't show up for elections, while the GOP dug in with its base and did more traditional voter outreach, like door knockings and events, even during the pandemic.
Marketplace's Kimberly Adams, thank you. As of today, the United States is formally out of the Paris Climate Agreement, 3 years after President Trump announced his intention to withdraw. 197 countries signed on, but only the U.S. has walked away from the promise to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Experts say slowing climate change and/or adapting to it requires cross-border cooperation, even though many costs will be local. It's what economists like Robert Stavins at Harvard call a global commons problem.
Any individual jurisdiction taking action, whether it's a country the size of the United States or it's just a state such as California, they incur the costs of taking action, but the benefits of those actions they've taken are spread globally.
But as Leah Stokes, who teaches environmental policy at the University of California, Santa Barbara, says, that depends on an international agreement without global governance.
So we fundamentally have to rely on a kind of bottom-up approach where countries have to make pledges and that they have to make progress on their own terms based on their own domestic politics.
And this is part of what the still-being-counted election is about, the level of support for this in domestic politics. Cannabis stocks are down this morning. The budding industry was betting on more sweeping Democratic victories at the polls yesterday, although they're still counting those, right? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains why cannabis stocks are taking this hit, even though marijuana was legalized in a number of states yesterday.
Recreational and medical marijuana will now be legal in New Jersey, Arizona, South Dakota, and Montana. It appears medical use was approved in Mississippi for patients with debilitating conditions. But marijuana is still illegal under federal law. It's a Schedule I drug, on par with heroin and ecstasy. Most banks refuse to deal with marijuana businesses. Banks can be charged with money laundering if they take deposits from what the federal government still considers illegal activity. Plus, the cannabis industry can't take standard deductions on federal income taxes. Marijuana business owners see Democrats as more open to federal legalization. They were hoping a blue wave would give Democrats control of the White House and Congress. With the outcome still uncertain, their stocks fell. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And Uber stock is up 10%. Lyft is up 14% now. This after California voters approved the exemption, allowing app-based companies to classify gig workers in that state as contractors who do not get full employee benefits. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.